Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for the Wilmington, Ohio Church of Christ. We pray that this message will inspire you and help you grow closer to God in your faith. Be sure to stick around after the message to find out more about how you can take your next best step. Enjoy the message.
Great job singing, church. That was excellent. Way to lift your voice to the Lord. This here is what we call a spotlight, and it still works. I plugged it in a little while ago, and it can work. And, you know, I heard that the number one fear of all people is public speaking. Number two is death. Like, people are more afraid of having the spotlight put on them where they public speak than they are to die. Number three is fear of death while public speaking. First spotlight, kind of theatrical spotlight, invented in 1816, where this guy named Drummond discovered that if he took quick lime, oxidized lime, and he would set it to the right temperature on fire, it would produce a glow that they could light up the stage with. Oxidized lime, the limelight, was invented. Now, there are some people that don't mind being in the spotlight, and there are other people that do. In John chapter 1, we find out that the whole Gospel of John wants to put the spotlight onto Jesus Christ. And as we open up the Gospel of John chapter 1, we are going to discover the what, the why, and the how we are to put the spotlight onto Jesus ourselves. So please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and allow us to pray for help in understanding the what, the why, and the how of the spotlight for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you have given us this gospel that will direct us and direct our attention to Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord, now that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit for understanding, but also for motivation, where you will change us from the inside out by the power of your Spirit using the tool of your Word so that we can encounter today the living Word in Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help all of our lives point others to Jesus? It's in his name that we pray. Amen. John chapter 1 does this spotlight deal with Jesus, and we are going to start off, it seems strange, the gospel writer, his name was John, James and John, he wrote the Gospel of John, and he kind of starts off, he talks about Jesus, but then he talks about another John called John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. And in verse 19, we're going to start, and we're going to read 19 through 38, and we're going to hear a little bit about John the Baptist, and then we're going to look at the what, the why, and the how of spotlighting Jesus Christ. Verse 19, this is what the Gospel of John tells us. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, and this is what he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And so they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Well, who are you? Tell us so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourselves?" He said, "I am the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, 'Make the way of the Lord straight,' as Isaiah the prophet said." And the messengers had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, of whom I am not worthy even to untie the strap of his sandal." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing people. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he in behalf of whom I said, 'After me is coming a man who has proved to be my superior because he existed before me.' And I did not recognize him, but so that he would be revealed to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven,' and he remained on him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God!" And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" This is John's gospel here, and he is beginning this process of what in the world is going on. How can we put the spotlight on Jesus? And of course, the what answer is, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make the way of the Lord straight." John says his whole purpose, John the Baptizer's whole purpose, was to put this spotlight on the Lord coming to them. In Jesus' day and before, when the king, especially in Isaiah's day, this is what John the Baptizer is quoting, he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, when the king would come into a land, they would straighten the road for the king. I don't know if you've been in the community of Wilmington very long, but if you go back into some of our farm areas, some of those roads get a little curvy, and they'll go around, and they'll go up, and they'll go under, and they'll go in and out. But when the Lord is coming, they'll go and take the roads that go down, and they'll lift those roads up to make it smooth. And where the roads go over, they'll cut right through that hill to make the road smooth. And John metaphorically is saying, I'm going to do everything possible to remove the obstacles and make the way smooth for the Lord, for people to hear about Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they were coming to John, and they were saying stuff like, "John, this seems strange what you're doing." They wanted to know, number one, who he was and who gave him the authority to do these things. See, in Jesus' day, the Jewish people, they had ceremonial washings, but only Gentile converts got baptized. And so they were kind of curious why Jewish people who were Jewish by heritage, Jewish by their ancestry, would need to be baptized like a convert, like some kind of convert. And John says, well, I'm making the way clear for the Lord. The Lord is coming. Our Savior is coming. The Master, the Messiah, the Christ is coming. And you need to be ready for when he arrives. And you need to repent and be baptized. That isn't unlike today. Jesus said he's going to come back, and he's going to come back soon. We don't know when he's coming back, and you need to be ready. Peter, when he met with the Israelites and they were curious about what was going on after the resurrection of Jesus, he said, "Save yourself from this wicked generation. Be ready." And he would say stuff like, "Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit." John is making this way. The what he is doing, what are you doing? He said, I'm making the way straight. I'm putting the spotlight on our Lord. Well, then we have to ask the question, why is he doing this? Why is John the Baptizer doing this? And he tells us by giving us the gospel. Verse 29, he says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the gospel in a sentence. A gospel and an expression. And he doesn't just stop there, but he gives who Jesus is. Why is he doing this? Because of who the Messiah is, the Lamb of God. If he just stopped with the Lamb of God, we have enough to start in telling you the gospel message of Jesus, the good news. In the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial system where they would need to take a lamb and sacrifice it in place of someone's sins. And then as the people exited Egypt out of slavery, there was what's called the Passover lamb. And God had sent 9 plagues on Egypt for the king of Egypt to let his people go. And he kept refusing. And so the last plague that was going to come on Egypt was the death of every firstborn child, a punishment on Egypt. And God told the Israelites, he said, what you need to do to have the angel of death, to have me pass over your home, to have death pass over your home, is you need to take a lamb and you need to sacrifice that lamb. Take the blood of the lamb and put it on the door frames of your house, the top and the sides, the top and the sides. And then when I come to kill the firstborn, anyone who has the blood of the lamb on the door frame of their home, death will pass over that house. The Lamb of God who It takes away death. Isaiah 53 says, this same Lamb of God would be wounded for our transgressions, striped, beaten for our iniquities. And like a lamb led to the slaughter, he would be silent. All of this is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God, where God takes away our sin, death passes over us, and we are receiving eternal life. If John only stopped there with the gospel, we have the gospel message, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus died in our place on the cross. He's taking away our sin. But he doesn't. He gives a further detailed explanation. It's the Lamb of God. It takes away the sin of the world. He's man. He becomes fully human, just like us. And yet he is superior, and he existed before us. He's also fully God. John the Baptizer is echoing John the Gospel writer out of John chapter 1, where we're right now, way up at the beginning in verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. We teach God is three in one. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't quite understand that, but that doesn't mean it's not true. I know one mathematician said, you can't have 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. No, you can't. That equals 3. But 1 × 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. We can't quite understand it, but our God is three in one. And Jesus the Son is God, and he is not the Father. And God the Father is God, but he's not the Son. They're distinct, yet one God. And when John says he was a man, and he came before me, and he's superior, he is explaining the good news that this is God in the flesh to us. Emmanuel, God with us. And part of the good news is we cannot ever climb the mountain with enough good works or earning our way to heaven. So God comes down to be with us to make the way possible. This is all wrapped up in the gospel. He's superior. He existed before me. And I saw, John says, I saw that when I baptized him, he came out of the water and the Spirit of God descended and landed on him and stayed on him. This is just another testimony where John is putting the spotlight on Jesus. We don't have the complete baptism story in the Gospel of John, but some of the other writers did record it. In Matthew chapter 3, for example, John is baptizing people for repentance. They're coming down to the water to repent of their sins. They're going into the water dirty and they're coming up clean. And now all of a sudden, Jesus comes to the water. And John tells him, and we have this story recorded in the Matthew's gospel. John says, wait, you don't need to be baptized. John says to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. We got this reverse, Jesus. And Jesus says this phrase that has always bothered me until 2 days ago. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 3, he says, allow it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. I've always been curious about that phrase. I've always been curious, why did Jesus get baptized? Everybody else is coming dirty and coming out of the water clean. And Jesus comes clean to the water and he gets baptized and he says, this is going to fulfill all righteousness. And I've heard my whole life that this is Jesus giving us an example to follow. And on one hand, it is. Every person should walk as Jesus walked and talk as Jesus talked and follow the ways of Jesus. We should be baptized like Jesus was baptized. It is an example, but on the other hand, he says this phrase, this fulfills all righteousness. I finally heard an interpretation that seems to make sense to me, and it is humbling me even today. There is no one who goes in the water who repents of their sin perfectly. Even when we turn to God, and we say, I'm sorry for my sin, and we repent, and we want to turn and follow God's ways, we don't do that perfectly. And just like Jesus substituted himself on the cross in our place in sacrifice, he substitutes himself in repentance. He's the only person that comes to the water clean and goes down and comes up dirty because he begins to take on the sin of the world even at the beginning of his ministry. He is repenting in our place. This fulfills all righteousness. This is the good news. We're going to mess up, and Jesus is going to cover it up for us. We're going to mess up, and Jesus is going to pay that price. It's bad news that we find out that we're not perfect and we've sinned and we've rebelled. It's the good news that Jesus pays the penalty of death in our place. This is how John says, why am I putting the spotlight on Jesus? This is the Son of God coming to be our place. He's come to be with us. This is good news. We need to do the good news in every part of our life. We need to practice repeating the gospel in everything we do. We need to do it in our attitude, in our words, in our actions, when you're driving your car, when you're in the line of the supermarket, when you're in the back of the line at the supermarket. We have to communicate the good news. Tate Wiederhold is a 4-year-old student that goes to church here. Tim and Alexa Wiederhold's son, heard this story about him the other day. This is so beautiful. He's in the classroom, preschool classroom, putting sand over in the bucket, and next to him is his friend, and he says, hey, can I tell you the gospel? And the teacher said, that student didn't kind of respond, and he turned to the teacher and said, what do I do now? And she's like, go ahead, go ahead. He said, it means good news, and he just kept filling up the sand. Now, isn't that putting the spotlight on Jesus? I heard that last week in small group, and the teacher said, at the very minimum, Tate's friend is going to associate Tate with gospel and good news, planting a seed of faith. Don't we all want to be like Tate? Don't we all want to be like John, putting the spotlight on Jesus? What are we doing? Well, we got to remove every obstacle that could be in the way to make the way straight for the Lord. Why are we doing it? Because this is God with us. How can we not tell somebody the good news? Hey, can I tell you about the gospel? No, it means good news. Putting the spotlight on Jesus. Well, how do we do that? John had a pretty significant way of doing it. In this sermon series over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be studying the I am statements of Jesus Christ. 7 statements Jesus makes where he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to dive into those statements of Jesus. Why is he the Messiah? He is. I am. And the first I am statement is actually in the Gospel of John by John the Baptizer, and it is, I am not the Messiah. You want to know how you put the spotlight on Jesus? You think less of yourself and you think more of Jesus. You want to know how you put the spotlight on Jesus? You don't worry about being embarrassed by saying, can I tell you the gospel? You just are so in favor and in love with the Lord, you can't help but not worry about yourself and only worry about if you're making the way straight for the Lord. You want to know how you put the spotlight on Jesus? You say, I must decrease and he must increase. This is how John the Baptizer did it. John had his own disciples. They would come to him. They flocked to him. He would teach them. And then one day, John chapter 3 explains it. They come to John the Baptizer while he's baptizing people, and they say, John, you won't believe it. That guy you told us about, Jesus, he's over there baptizing like you are. And John says, that's actually a pretty good thing. He must increase, and I must decrease. I was just preparing the way, putting the spotlight on Jesus. And now if Jesus is in the limelight, we want him to have the whole stage. You want to know how you put the spotlight on Jesus? He must increase and I must decrease. At the end of John chapter 1, we see this. John says, look, there's the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then his disciples are with him. We find out in John chapter 1, two of his disciples are standing there with him. This is verse 35. Verse 36, he looked at Jesus as he walked by and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples of John the Baptizer started following Jesus. And John the Baptizer says, that's the way to go. How are you putting the spotlight on Jesus? What are you doing to make the way straight for the Lord? Who are you telling the gospel to? How are you in your life making yourself less and increasing Jesus? I have this great example that happened last week. Somebody putting their spotlight on Jesus. I'm really proud. This is somebody near and dear to my heart. My son, Josh McCamish, my middle son, last Saturday night, a week ago, he said, oh, Mom and Dad, he's home from college. This is something you never want to hear out of your son's mouth. He said, Mom and Dad, I need to tell you something. He said, I'm getting baptized Tuesday. And I said, what? What do you mean? He said, Dad, I think he was having trouble telling me. He said, Dad, when I got baptized when I was younger, I don't even really remember it very well. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't understand. He said, I want to make a commitment to Christ myself. I'm being baptized Tuesday. And I said, son, I'm so proud of you. And I have his video, and I want you to watch how Josh says, I want to be less, and I want to make him more. Would you watch this video with me?
7, 8 at the time. I was really young, and I didn't understand at the time. I would say that I grew up in a Christian household. My dad's a pastor. Shout out to Dad. And kind of growing up with that, it can be a lot of religion at times, being a pastor's kid and having to show up, put on the face, have to act a certain way, be a certain way. And then this past year when I started going to Rivers Crossing Church, I was able to kind of move into, instead of being a pastor's kid and just being like just another child of God, which not to, you know, say just another child of God, but it was really interesting. It was really great for me to kind of go into an atmosphere where I wasn't like having to put on this or that, and I was able to, you know, just grow and change as I was. And a lot of people here, as that, like being around them and having their perspective and their relationship with God kind of taught me the difference between religion and relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And so over this past year, I've kind of been able to make that change and see to myself and choose to grow. So I've decided that I need to follow the ordinance and honor God and be baptized.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh, you decided to follow Jesus for the rest of your days? What? On that simple profession of faith, we get to baptize you. Here, listen to that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You know, as a dad who has baptized his son, I could be jealous. I could be a little maybe upset that he's being baptized. I could be maybe glad he bumped his head in the baptistry. But really, he said, Dad, this is not about me being rebaptized. This is about me growing in my faith, adding on to what you've taught me, and being baptized. This is putting the spotlight on Jesus. The scripture says that when you are buried with Christ, Romans chapter 6, when you're buried with him this way, you'll be raised with him, the resurrection of life, in the same way. Baptism is just this beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I said, Josh, why are you getting baptized? Put some scripture to it. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended on him at his baptism. I said, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, you clothe yourself with Christ having been baptized into Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 says, God cuts away, spiritually cuts away your old self at baptism. Romans chapter 6 says you're burying your old self and you're becoming a new person being raised in faith. And Josh goes, that's it. Putting my old self to death and being raised to a new life. That's a picture of Jesus. That is putting the spotlight on Jesus. Josh says, I am second. He must be first in my life. And he says, I'll do everything that the Lord tells me to do. Another picture that Jesus gives us of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, another picture of the gospel is communion. Would you take out your communion cup? We have the bread and the cup of communion. Will you just hold on to the bread for a moment? See, your action, your call to action when you leave this room, when you turn off the internet, when you stop hearing my voice, your call to action is to go tell people the gospel. Use your words. Show it with your actions and your attitude. But don't you know that when you participate in communion, you are giving your testimony about the gospel of Jesus Christ? The bread represents his body that was broken for us, that absorbed our sin, where he exchanged his righteousness for our sin in his body. And God said he condemned sin in the body of Christ so that there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. This is a testimony. You get to tell people about the gospel just by participating in the bread and the cup. Scripture says when you participate in the bread, you are participating in his body. When you participate in the cup, you're participating in his blood. And it's a mystery how that connection is made. But it is also your witness that you are in Christ. It's a reminder of your own baptism. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done for you, being baptized in your place, being crucified in your place. And when you remember this, you have nothing but praise to give him. Would you participate in the bread? Jesus, we praise you because you were crushed for our iniquities, and by your wounds we are healed. We praise you that your body absorbed our sin and you allowed us to absorb your righteousness. Lord, even as this bread is absorbed into our bodies, would you remind us that we are now a part of your body, the church, the people of God. And would you give us the courage to share this good news, even as we're sharing that good news right now? Would you take out your cup? And would you remember that his blood was shed for you, his blood poured out of his body and spiritually covering over all of your sin, so much so that you are washed completely clean and God declares you not guilty? Would you participate in the cup? Lord Jesus, we praise you for this time where we get to participate in the bread and the cup, remembering your sacrifice, remembering your bloodshed. Lord, in this moment, we are putting the spotlight on you. Lord, would you help us to do that in our entire life? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In just a few moments, we're going to be dismissed from this room to go put the spotlight on Jesus. How? By making anything short of sin so you can share the good news with someone else. Why? Because he is good news to us, the Lord. How? By becoming less and making him number one. But before we're dismissed to go do that, though, I do want to offer this invitation. If you have never placed yourself into Jesus' death, burial, and a resurrection, we have warm water in our baptistry, clean, ready for you right now. We have clothes you can change into where you don't have to go home wet. You get a t-shirt that reminds you of this moment that you are forgiven, and you are placed into Jesus' death, burial, and raised by faith to his resurrection. If you have never done that, or you were so young you can't remember, we offer you this opportunity to be baptized. Would you find me right after church and let me know if that's something you want to pursue? And I'm not talking about being rebaptized. If you remember, it doesn't matter if you were immature or if you were young. That counts if you know what you were doing. But if you didn't know what you were doing, we want to offer that to you so that you too can be united to Christ in baptism.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. If you need someone to pray with you, talk to, or maybe you just want more information about our church, be sure to fill out a Connect card so we can reach out and help you take your next best step. Thanks again for joining, and we will see you back here next time.